Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert unto may help and save us ever. Faith goes to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our
Good morning and welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota, Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota, and First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota. Today we read from the Word of God recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." We're all familiar with the stereotypical religious kook who walks around wearing a placard that says the world is going to end at such and such a time. It's good sport to poke fun of such people. And there's some truth to the stereotype. Sometime in 1988, I remember receiving a book in the mail entitled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Come in 1988. As you know, 1988 came and went, and nobody was raptured. And then there's the rather pathetic story about the genesis of the Jehovah's Witness religion. Their first leader, a man by the name of Charles Taze Russell, kept on making false predictions about the return of Christ and the end of the world. He lost more and more disciples each time his prediction turned out to be false. Finally, he came up with the idea that Christ did return, just as he had predicted, but that he did so invisibly. There have been and will be religious fanatics predicting when the end of the world will come. But Jesus made it clear that no one knows when this will be. He says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Matthew 24:36. It is one thing to mock date setters who presume to know what our Lord said we cannot know. But it is another thing to mock the preaching of Judgment Day and to scoff at calls to repent. St. Peter warns us of this very thing. They will scoff, they will ridicule the very idea of Judgment Day. They will argue that things have always gone the way they are going now, and there's no reason to assume that the world as we have always known it will not continue. But things have not always gone the way they are going now. The fact is that God once judged this world, and he will surely do it again. For years, Noah preached about the coming destruction of the world. He warned about the flood for an entire generation. No one listened, but the flood came. Then it was too late. Noah preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins. That's what all Christian preachers have always preached, repentance and the forgiveness of sins, but they didn't listen. And then the flood came. Only those who were secure within the ark were saved from destruction. Outside of the ark, there was no salvation. Everyone drowned. And so it will be when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. Only those within the church will be saved. The entire world will be destroyed, and everything in it will be burned. All monuments to human greatness will disintegrate in the heat. The church will be the ark of salvation. Those outside of the church, that is, those who are not justified through faith in Christ, will have no more hope than did the world that was destroyed by the flood. It was by His word that God created the heavens and the earth. It is by His word that God sustains the heavens and the earth. And when God says the word, this world and all that is in it will be destroyed. In the meantime, God patiently waits. He sends His word out. His word has power not only to create, to sustain, and finally to destroy this world. It also has the power to create spiritual life in stony, dead hearts. Scoffers, mockers, who walk according to their own lusts, that is, those who simply follow what they personally want as the greatest good, are heading for sudden destruction. But God's word has the power to regenerate them. It has the power of the Holy Spirit to create faith in their hearts and to enlighten them. God patiently proclaims His holy word in order to give them time to repent, because God wants all to repent, and He wants to be gracious to all, and He's patient. God doesn't think like we do, and that's why we need to rely on His word in order to know what He wants. Otherwise, we'll just assume that the way we think is the way He thinks. God is eternal. He looks at 1,000 years and sees but a single day. We are bound in and burdened by time. We can't see over it. We can't see around it. It stands as a wall in front of us and behind us. We are stuck where we are living. But God lives above time. He sees everything as if it has already happened. While we're trying to figure out how He will get everything to work out right, He's already done so. Moses speaks for all the faithful in the words of the psalm, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn man to destruction and say, 'Return, O children of men,' for 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. It's been nearly 2,000 years since Jesus said that He would return to judge the living and the dead. During these many years, the world has been living on the precipice of eternity. Whether we know it or not, or take it to heart or not, our time in this world will come to a sudden end without any warning. It will be like a thief in the night. There will be no time to repent. Those without oil in their lamps will have no time to borrow or buy any more. Tomorrow is too late. Today is the day to be ready. Right now is the time to repent. There will be no tomorrows when Christ returns to judge the quick and the dead. Repentance is usually regarded as a largely negative and one-sided thing. We examine ourselves and find all of our sins, and then we confess these sins to God and resolve to avoid them, or at least to try to avoid them in the future. But this isn't really what repentance is all about. First of all, we're not going to find all of our sins, no matter how hard we look. The psalmist declares, "Who can discern his errors? Cleanse me from hidden faults." Psalm 19, verse 12. Secondly, confessing our sins in sorrow to God is only the first part of repentance. The second part is the more important: faith. It is believing God when He tells us that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Why did God become our brother, if not to become our substitute under the law and redeem us? So the Christian faith is not simply believing that God exists, and that His word is almighty, and that He will judge, and that everyone is accountable to him. All of this is true. But at the very heart of the Christian faith is our confidence that God, for the sake of Christ's holy life and innocent death, forgives us all our sins. There is a righteousness that we need but cannot attain, no matter how sincerely we repent of our sins or resolve to avoid them. But God gives us this righteousness. He gives it to us freely. He reckons to us Christ's righteousness. That is, he regards us as righteous by crediting to us the righteousness of Christ. And this is ours simply by faith. When we believe that it is ours, it is ours because God said so. And this is what makes life worth living right now, here in this world. It makes us ready for Judgment Day no matter when it comes. The world will be destroyed. As St. Peter says, it will burn up. But the apostle adds these words, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Judgment Day is a day to be dreaded only by those who don't know Christ and don't have the forgiveness of sins. Those who are now covered by the righteousness of Christ don't have anything to worry about when he returns. The new heavens and the new earth is their home. No sin will ever enter there. No death will haunt anyone. No guilt from the past or fear of the future will mar the perfect joy of that perfect love, for righteousness will live there. And those who live there will by nature do what righteousness requires, and it won't be a burden or an imposition. It will be pure joy. Nothing will tempt us to sin, and sin won't hold any appeal. But those who live their lives as if their own desires are paramount and their own notions are supreme cannot understand the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. And that's because they've never learned to deny themselves. It's only in repentance that we learn that God's word is infallible. It's only in denying our own feelings and relying on God's word instead that we find that God promises us so much more than we could possibly gain for ourselves. So we thank God for his patience, his long-suffering in delaying his judgment of the world, so that we by his grace may be ready when he comes. Holding on to Christ, who is our righteousness, we will be prepared to live forever where righteousness dwells. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. We thank you for being with us this morning on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We are happy to bring this broadcast to you every Sunday morning. We'd also like to invite you to visit one of the congregations of our parish. Our schedule for divine service is Sunday morning, 8 o'clock at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, Sunday morning, 10:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, and Sunday at noon at First Stavanger Lutheran Church in Fertile. Also, during Advent, which begins today, we will be having midweek evening services at each of the three congregations: Tuesday evenings at Grace in Crookston, Wednesday evenings at First American in Mayville, and Thursday evenings at First Evanger in Fertile. And these services begin at 7 o'clock. We hope that you can visit us at one of these services, and please tune in next Sunday morning, same station, same time, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.